Barbara's a licensed marriage and family therapist, certified hypnotherapist, and regression therapist in Claremont, California. She specializes in regression therapy with people who experience encounters with extraterrestrial beings. Trained by the Association for Past Life Research and Therapy, she began working with ET experiences in 1991 and has conducted regressions where in at least 1,800 cases led to these type of encounters. She's taught workshops for regression therapists through several organizations to train them in doing regression therapy with experiencers of extraterrestrial contact. Currently president of the Academy of Clinical Close Encounter Therapists and a board member of the Journal of Abduction Encounter Research. Barbara has presented lectures on the subject of ET encounters across the United States and Canada, England, Belgium, and other places, including the International UFO Congress, the Bay Area UFO Expo, Star Knowledge Conferences, Whole Life Expos, Brain Mind Symposiums, and various MUFON chapters. She's been interviewed on numerous national television shows, including Encounters, The Other Side, The Learning Channel, History Channel, Discovery Channel, and We. She's been interviewed on various radio programs like this one. Her forthcoming book, Alien Experiences, co-authored with Nadine Lalich, will be available. I thought it was next month. Turns out January of 2008. More information can be found at alienexperiences.com. There's a link on coasttocoastam.com, as well as my site, raleigh.net. Barbara's previous book, Crop Circles Revealed, co-authored with Judith K. Moore, is available by contacting Barbara at her email address, and I've got a link at raleigh.net for that, R-O-L-L-Y-E.net. And otherwise, if you can remember it, Barbara_Lamb@Verizon.net. More on Barbara can be found on her websites, cropcircleworld.com and barbaralambmft.com. And in a moment, you'll meet her yourself with Raleigh James on Coast to Coast AM. It is Coast to Coast AM. I am Raleigh James, and we welcome Barbara Lamb. Thanks for joining us, Barbara.
Well, thank you, Raleigh. I'm pleased to be with you.
I'm fascinated. I've seen a couple of the things that you've done on television, and, you know, it's very often so hard to find somebody who's looking at this clinically in any way. Most people are overcome by emotion when discussing it, so I've got a million questions. And the first thing that occurred to me is, before you were in the therapy field, what was your knowledge or involvement with UFOs at all? Was this anything even in your consciousness?
No, I must say that I went all the way in my life until 1981 before I ever gave any thought at all to UFOs or extraterrestrials. And I had already become a therapist, and I was doing some of the deeper work, some of the inner work, which we now call hypnosis. But somehow the subject of UFOs completely passed me by, or if I thought of it at all, I just thought it was science fiction, so I didn't pay any attention. But in 1981, I visited a friend, and on her coffee table was a beautiful book that said on the cover, UFO, Contact from the Pleiades. Well, that had such beautiful pictures of UFOs that had visited Billy Meyer in Switzerland. And I thought, oh my gosh, I mean, I really had a big reaction, a very positive reaction, thinking, you know, maybe there really are other beings in the universe, and maybe some of them can even come here. So I flipped through the book really quickly and was very impressed because the photos looked so real to me, and the testimonies, and even the quotes from these beings called the Pleiadians, who really seemed to care about humanity and about the Earth. So that was kind of the beginning of it. And then a couple of years later, I started getting training in regression therapy with an emphasis on past life regression therapy.
Okay, now I got to stop you there for a moment, because that too is interesting. The average person who goes to school and gets a master's and all that, nowhere in the curriculum is, we'll talk about past lives now.
That's
so
right.
How did that come into your consciousness?
Well, that actually came because I had been doing quite a bit of traveling in the early 1980s, going to different countries. And several times in Egypt and in Peru, when I'd be in a certain location, I had the strangest experience where I just had what certainly seemed like a vivid memory coming up in that place of my being there, but being a whole different person.
Wow.
Like maybe a little Peruvian child in one case, or being a slave in Egypt and dying a really very, very sad death. And so these memories would come up and almost sort of take over. And I thought, well, this is weird because I'd never heard of anything like that before. So I began to think that, you know, maybe we really do have plenty of lifetimes. Mm-hmm. And so that sort of brewed around in my mind for, oh, gosh, a couple of years. And then one day, synchronistically, I walked into the study of my home and just flipped on the television at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I had never listened to the television in the daytime before. And there was a program about a woman, Helen Wambach, who was regressing people into previous lifetimes. So I listened to that, and I thought, wow, well, that really kind of fits in with what happened to me on these trips with these vivid, what seemed like memories coming up. So I listened and sort of put that in the back of my mind. And then about a year after that, I met the woman, Hazel Denning, who had founded the Association for Past Life Research and Therapies in Riverside, California, which is not too far from me. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, Barbara, you're already doing hypnosis work and you're a licensed psychotherapist. So why don't you come to our conference, which is happening tomorrow night in Newport, which is only about an hour away, and see what we're all about. We're doing this wonderful past life therapy work. So I went, and I was so impressed with those professionals who were doing this work. And then I signed up for training. I took about 5 years of training in past life regression therapy. And even in that time, there were two or three cases where somebody who came to me about some sort of everyday concern that they had, that in the regression, they went back into a previous lifetime of being an extraterrestrial being.
Now, that had to floor you.
Well, that did. And it floored the person, too, of course.
Well, no kidding. Yeah, of course. But, you know, I mean, there's really nothing to prepare for that. Now, let me ask, before you got to that, when you were first interested in the past lives, obviously part of this was spurred on by your own experience. So did you find somebody to do regression on you?
Yes, I did. Well, finally, when I got into the training was very, very good. And we had to regress our fellow colleagues being mm-hmm. trained, and we had to be regressed by them. So in the 5 years of training, I had quite a number of regressions done on me under supervision. And so some of those scenarios came up, and I was able to sort of work through them, especially that very sad, traumatic one. Mm-hmm. And realized that, oh, my gosh, you know, this really must be real. And it can be very therapeutic to the person to do the regression work. Now, the clincher of all this was that in about 1987, or maybe it was 88, in my last module of past life training, I had a wonderful trainer. And at the beginning of this particular training session, she said to our group of advanced students, those of you who are doing this regression work might find sometime that the source of somebody's puzzlement or even trauma is that they have been visited by beings, alien beings from elsewhere, and taken away for a while. Things happen to them, and then they're returned. Now, at that point, Raleigh, I had never heard of such a thing. And I had not been aware of Bud Hopkins or David Jacobs mm-hmm. or any of the people who were writing about this at the time. So, and I was even more startled by what I call the big voice of my soul. In any way, it was a big voice speaking to me inside my head, very imperatively, saying, as if wagging its finger at me, pay attention to this, Barbara. You will be doing this.
Oh, man. Now, that's so, really interesting to me because your first regressions, of course, were almost confirmations. You had independently the experience in Peru or in Egypt where now when you regress them, it almost is, it is the confirmation of, well, yes, this is real.
Yeah.
On the other hand, from out of the blue, oh, and by the way, you're going to deal with people who have been whisked off on spacecrafts. That's so out of your day-to-day experience that when the big voice is saying, pay attention to this, part of you has to think, all right, I've gone into la-la land now.
Well, you know, I just didn't know what to make of it, frankly. And so the trainer, who is a really excellent psychotherapist herself from Camarillo, she just rushed on then and started the rest of the past life regression training for that module.
Well, so it's just one sentence, like, oh, by the way, you might get people who've been abducted. Oh, that's nice. That's good.
That's right. And then we'll just rush on with the rest of our business. So it did floor me. You're absolutely right. And I just sort of put it on the back burner in order to get on with the rest of the training. And ever since then, I've thought, now, isn't that strange that I didn't, in our breaks between sessions, that I didn't ask her more about that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, as a result of that moment, I began thinking, you know what? I don't know if this whole UFO thing is real. I think I better start finding out about it. Oh, and I want to say also that I had had a very traditional, classic education at an Ivy League college in New England.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was never, of course, anything along this line or even the past life work or reincarnation or anything that had ever come across my consciousness. So so here I was suddenly faced with this thought that some people are being visited by these beings from elsewhere and taken and in some cases traumatized. And I better find out if there's any reality to this. So I noticed that I started going to different lectures that I would hear about, lectures about the UFO phenomenon and research that was being done by that and seeing photos of UFOs and then gradually hearing that there were people who were having extraterrestrial encounters. And so I was kind of preparing in case anybody would ever come to me for that sort of a situation. Well, then, in 1991, I met a woman in a metaphysical bookstore, and she realized that I did this regression therapy work along with my regular psychotherapy work, and she asked if I would work with her daughter. And it turns out that her daughter, age 21, a very lovely young woman, was highly traumatized by very strange things that were happening to her. And she had dropped out of college. She had dropped out of her part-time job. And she was so terrified to go to sleep at night that she insisted on sleeping in the bed with her parents, right between her parents, night after night. And, of course, they got a little fed up with this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she is 21 years old and a very bright girl. So she sent the daughter to me, and we had six sessions. And in those sessions, we did several regressions and talked about all the strange things that she was seeing and that would appear in her bedroom at night. And she was even painting paintings. She was a good artist, and she'd notice after painting late into the night that in the next morning she'd look at the painting and there would be a picture of a strange little gray or little white being in the scene that she had been painting. So she hadn't even been aware while she was painting that she was painting a little extraterrestrial, but it was sort of creeping out from her subconscious mind, apparently. So anyway, we did these regressions, and she found she'd had many different kinds of experiences with them, and she'd even had a hybrid child.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Now this woman, other than by the time this woman is so traumatized that she's sleeping between her parents, this woman has no, what should we say, conscious recollection that she's been intimately involved with people from somewhere else?
Well, she didn't know that she was intimately involved, but what would happen would be that sometimes she'd wake up at night and there'd be a being right next to her bed or maybe three beings. They seem to come in ones or threes, I've noticed with other people.
Really?
And then she'd be levitated up out of her bed. Nobody would touch her, but it seemed like these beings would sort of float her up into the air and out through the wall or the ceiling or out through even a closed window in a beam of light. And then she'd find herself in some other environment, which always seemed to be a round room. We would recognize that now as a craft. And then various procedures would happen to her. So she was aware that she could remember the beginning of an experience. And the final clincher for her was that, before she decided to ask for help, was that she was in the shower one day. Everybody else in the house was at work or at school. And she was washing her hair, nice hot water, and she noticed through the glass door of the shower that there is this little white being with a big head and big dark eyes on the other side of the kind of misty shower door. And she felt very disquieted about that and, you know, would turn away and dunk her head under the water and then look again, and it was still there, maybe in a different part of the bathroom. Well, lo and behold, approximately 2 hours later, she sort of came to in the shower, and her hair wasn't wet anymore, and she wasn't wet anymore, but the water was all cold, so she apparently had been in that shower, well, she thought she had anyway, for 2 hours. 2 hours had gone without any awareness, and that coupled with seeing this little being through the misty shower door really freaked her out. And she said, I've got to get to the bottom of this. I just can't take it.
So what was happening here is she was aware of the initial instigation of these various encounters. But
yes.
So she knew and she was able to remember that there had been encounters. But other than the initial encounter, she was clueless.
That's right. And this is very, very typical for people who do experience this sort of thing. They remember sometimes just the first few moments when an experience is beginning, or they may not remember that, but they'll remember the last few moments. So people describe things like feeling like they're being slammed into bed. In other words, dropped down on the bed from being above the bed. Or they'll remember, they'll be aware that they suddenly sat bolt upright in bed. Or they may sort of come to, shall we say, somewhere else in the room, or lying on top of their covers, or lying sort of sprawled across the bed sideways.
Yeah, I read one of the things where you had said sometimes they come to and they're wearing clothes that they didn't own. Where did they get the clothes?
Yeah, well, isn't that curious?
Yeah.
Well, they apparently, well, when we do regressions, they find out that they were taken and their own clothes were removed by these other beings.
Right.
And then when it was time to go home, the beings just put the clothes on that were nearby, and they might be somebody else's clothes.
From some other abductee, as opposed to the Pleiades mall sale?
Oh, that's cute. Yes, from some other abductee.
Yeah.
In fact, one lady woke up one day after an experience, and she had on a Japanese T-shirt, that is, with a real Japanese label on the inside, a T-shirt from Japan, and not her own. So, of course, I wonder if the Japanese person who might have been taken on the same occasion ended up with her T-shirt.
Yeah, you would assume.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Now, in terms of, you say that she bore an alien child, of course, that's so over the top, because the first thing we think is, well, wouldn't anyone around her notice that perhaps she was pregnant? So we're going to pick it up right there with Barbara Lamb, because we've heard about this before, people being impregnated. How does nobody kind of, and I assume nobody here notices that they're with child, and then once the child is born, does the child know that this is mom? I'm very curious about that, and do they get to visit, and when the child reaches maturity, can the child decide where to live? And I know this sounds to many people just so over the top, but when you think about it, think about this happening to you for a moment, if it did, wouldn't those be your concerns? is, hey, can I raise this child? So, yeah, a lot of things to talk about, and we will. Barbara Lamb, and all the links to her websites are on Coast to Coast AM as well as Raleigh.net. I am Raleigh James, and it is Coast to Coast. And Barbara Lamb, who joins us, alienexperiences.com, will tell you about the book that's coming out in just months, maybe weeks, actually. Fascinating. That's what we're talking about. Imagine going through a classic education, Ivy League schools and all that, being a therapist, and then finding out that, well, we may be regressing to past lives. And, oh, some of them may include regressions, either past lives where you were an alien, or past lives, or not past lives, but encounters with ETs. And here's Barbara on her first regression of this type. And here's a young woman who, on top of everything else, is impregnated by said aliens. You really, beyond mind-blowing, it raises so many questions once you get past this. Of course, being impregnated, well, I guess that's the ultimate implant, isn't it? We'll get to implants, but how does that play out down the road? And more to the point, we'll pick it up with, usually pregnancies are noticed. How does that work? So nothing but questions and plenty of answers from Barbara Lamb with Raleigh James on Coast to Coast AM. It is Coast to Coast AM. I am Raleigh James. We have Barbara Lamb with us, and her very first regression with a UFO abductee. Here, this woman turns out to be impregnated. So I'm sure it occurred to you as well. How did nobody know about the pregnancy?
Well, let me explain the way that it happens. It seems to happen in two different ways. The obvious one is that the Earth female is directly impregnated sexually by an extraterrestrial male being. And then the other way is that eggs are taken from the woman during an ET experience, and those eggs are mixed with extraterrestrial reproductive material, and then that mixed material is implanted again in the woman's womb and left there for 2 months or so, approximately. And then that fetus is taken from the woman on a subsequent occasion, and it is then incubated into a glass tube sort of thing, which is monitored and controlled on the craft. And then it stays there, looked after by various ETs who do that nursery work. And usually there's a whole row of these glass tubes full of these babies being grown, hybrid babies. And then at the correct time that they judge, this fetus, or the baby, I should say, is removed. So that's one way. So in other words, in either case, no matter how the impregnation actually happened, the woman has that fetus in the body for only about, 2 months or so.
Okay. So there's no showing of it, and of course, most of them, we assume, are blissfully unaware. But of those who do become aware, do any of them later interact with the children?
Yes. Well, first of all, just a missing piece here, that very often a woman does realize that she's pregnant, and she goes to the doctor, and she has that verified by the doctor. And, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have a baby. So she may or may not be happy about that, but, of course, she assumes that it is a regular human baby. And then, of course, the baby, from her point of view, consciously, the baby suddenly disappears. She's suddenly not pregnant anymore. And, of course, in the meantime, usually unbeknownst to her, she's been taken again, and that fetus has been removed.
Okay, now this raises something, too, when you said maybe she's not happy about it. Many people who turn out to be pregnant decide they're going to terminate the pregnancy with an abortion.
Yeah.
Is any of that happening where someone is, and I assume the aliens would swoop down and stop that action, but do you have any reports of that type of thing where someone says, well, I'm pregnant, I'm terminating it?
No, I don't. But interestingly, when the woman realizes that she's no longer pregnant, or she just doesn't feel pregnant anymore, the symptoms
right.
have gone away. And then she'll often go to the doctor and get checked. And when he's examining her, he will say, well, why did you have the abortion? And she said, well, I didn't. Or he'll say, well, when did you miscarry? And she'll say, I wasn't aware of any miscarriage. And then he'll say, well, somebody has been inside you and has done impeccable repair work. And so why aren't you aware of it? And of course, the woman has no idea, you know, that all of that's gone on, unless she does regression work and really finds out.
Now, what's fascinating about this, Barbara, is it would seem to me that there are some gynecologists who probably have information about this, too, and they're not talking.
Oh, I agree. I'm sure there must be. So then, of course, the woman will say, well, what could have happened to that fetus? And the doctor will say, well, you know, sometimes they just don't adhere to the uterus wall and they sort of break free. We don't know why exactly. And they're reabsorbed into the system. Now, another interesting thing about this is that there's a phenomenon called the vanishing twin phenomenon. And so what this means is that a woman is pregnant with twins and it's confirmed by her doctor. And after 2 or 3 months or so, one twin simply disappears from the womb. And then doctors often say, well, that happens sometimes. It's fairly common. And that other one now, the missing one, has been reabsorbed into the mother's system. But what really happens sometimes, that is if the woman is an experiencer of extraterrestrial contact, the missing twin has been taken by the aliens and is raised by the aliens, wherever they are. And that twin, you know, does its growing up just like the twin does here on Earth, the remaining twin. And the twin who's been taken learns to tell telepathy and psychic skills. And there's a lifelong connection between the two twins.
Okay, now I gotta back up here. Okay. Now we're talking about twins who were conceived through the quote unquote usual way, Earthling twins.
Yes, Earthling.
Okay.
Complete
so
Earthling.
We got complete Earthling twins, and now one of them is going to be taken by the ETs.
Yes.
Now the first thing that we normally think of when we think about ETs is that they are structurally so different that, you know, we might not even be able to, quote-unquote, breathe their air, so to speak.
Right.
And now you've got a totally human baby. So the first question is, how does it even survive, and where is it surviving? Where is it?
Well, what we think, although it's difficult to prove this, we think that that baby grows up on a craft with that particular group of ETs, and that somehow they can create enough oxygen or enough of an environment that that baby can live in. And so it does grow up with them. And, of course, that would be, oh, so fascinating if we could ever meet one of those and interview them. I mean, wouldn't that be a great interview for you?
Well, it would also be, yeah, of course, it'd be fascinating, but it would also be awful for the baby when you think about that. I mean, it's almost like your life in an incubator. So then the question there becomes, do, I won't say escape, but do some of them leave that and then live Earth lives?
Oh, I don't think so. I think
okay.
That, you see, I think they'd have to be returned.
Right. Are any of them ever returned as adults?
Well, I hear stories about that sometimes, but I've never really run into that in my own regression work, so I really can't say. Now, also what happens with this sometimes is that the human twin, I mean, the one remaining here with his family on Earth, is sometimes taken by the ETs to be, for a brief period of time, with the missing twin.
Really?
In other words, just taken for maybe 2 or 3 hours and then returned, so that the twins have a chance to actually meet and get to know each other and to feel very bonded and very close.
All right. Now, getting back to your woman who had your first regression, she has the alien baby. Through the six sessions, she's now aware of this. Did it answer her questions or did it raise more?
Well, I think it answered her questions. For some people, it raises more. But she had a wonderful finale to our sessions, and that is that she and her sister, who was about 19 years old, were driving one day, and this was here in Southern California, driving together, and there was a great big field that they were driving by. And this was just about dusk. It was just getting dark. And they could see that behind them and up in the air was a very, very bright light. And the bright light was coming toward them, and then it came over the car, and very typically, this happens a lot with experiencers, the car motor sort of petered down to a stop. They had just time to pull off the road, and then they noticed that this big beam of light was shining right into the car. So then they jumped out of the car and started running across this field that they were next to. And my client looked back, and she saw this big beam of light following her, and it zapped her in her lower back. Now, her lower back is a part of her body that she had had considerable problems with, considerable pain with. So she felt this light. It was kind of like a warm, pulsating light from this beam hitting her in the lower back. And while she was running, and her sister was running, but the beam felt good. It felt very healing, very comforting. So she actually stopped while the sister kept running, and just to keep experiencing it for a few more moments. And she noticed that all of her pain completely went away. So that was a wonderful sort of testimony to her that these beings were helping her as well as doing things that were really very strange.
Mm-hmm.
So after that happened, a few days later, she came in for her session and she said to me, you know, I think this is my last session with you because I feel so different about all this now. And I'm really pleased that these beings are doing what they're doing with me. They've healed me of the back pain. I've gotten used to the idea that I have this child that's part theirs and part mine, and I'm over my fear. She had previously been doing everything she possibly could to stay up until about 4 o'clock every morning when it suddenly felt safe for her to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I'm not afraid anymore. In fact, I'm going back to college, and I'm going back to my part-time job or getting another one. And I'm going to move with my boyfriend into one of the canyons in this area. So that's kind of wilderness country. So she said, I don't mind if they come again. It's really okay. So for me, being the regression therapist, I thought, wow, this is really worthwhile doing.
Right, right.
That help.
Sure, it's a sense of accomplishment because he or she's returned to a normal life. Now, over the years, have you ever followed up with her to find out how she's doing?
Well, I've talked to her mother. I haven't talked to her.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I also talked to her sister. Her sister came in for regular sort of human type of problems.
Uh-huh.
And I was able to ask the sister about that time with the car and the beam of light striking her sister. And so she described it, too, and it all meshed very well. So that was exciting, too, that there was a witness to that experience.
Yeah, that all the confirmation we can get, because even though in your heart you might know what's right, still we're treading on areas that are very, very difficult to buy. Now, when we talk about it, it's a very common thing, and I know it's come up in a lot of your regressions, too, where people think they've been gone 20 minutes, but it was more like 6 hours or something.
Yes.
The first thing that occurred to me, and that's why I'd played Don't Pay the Ransom, I've Escaped earlier, is that the idea that you don't know where you were for 7 hours, for instance, that can be the kind of stuff of which divorces are made.
Oh,
so,
yes.
Yeah, you betcha. So with that in mind, how much of a problem has the missing time been for people in their earthly, you know, interactions?
Well, it affects people in different ways depending on where they are and what the circumstances are. If somebody is taken from their bed at night and if there's a sleeping partner there, the sleeping partner typically is what we call switched off. In other words, that partner is just seeming to be in a really deep sleep,
right,
unable to be awakened by the one who's being taken, who might want to call out or elbow the partner or something.
Yeah.
But they're just out, mm-hmm. out of it. And so they're not even aware. But once in a while it happens that the sleeping partner is aware of something. For instance, a wonderful young woman I'm working with on and off nowadays, she was taken and her husband was in bed with her. And he heard a very unusual noise right over the house, kind of a whirring, swooshing noise. And he absolutely registered the noise. And then he was switched off, and she was taken for her ET experience. And the next day, well, he went to work, but that night when he came home, he turned on the internet. And he had been told that there was a site where you could hear the sounds of different kinds of UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to that site, and he heard exactly that sound. And then he called his wife in, the one who had been taken, and said, "Listen to this sound. Have you ever heard this?" And she said, "Yes, I heard it last night, but I was actually outside of the house. I was up in the air in a beam of light when I heard that sound." In other words, that was during her abduction.
And she says this to him. Now, what does he say to her?
Well, he knew that fortunately, he had already known that she did have these experiences sometimes.
Okay.
And by the way, you mentioned this long period of missing time. This particular young woman, in 1979, when she lived alone in an apartment in Los Angeles, she suddenly, one late afternoon after work, felt extremely tired. This is a thing that happens to many experiencers. From having felt just quite regular and pretty mm-hmm. good and peppy, she suddenly felt extremely tired, just managed to get over to the sofa and slumped down on the sofa, and she was out for 3 days.
Is that the longest we know of anybody being out?
No, we know of Travis Walton, a very famous case,
right.
abductee case, who was gone for 5 days. But this is the longest one I've personally
right.
known about.
3 days. Whoa.
Yeah. And then when she finally woke up or came to, whatever you want to call it, she was lying on the hard floor, wooden floor, of her apartment near the sofa, but not on the sofa. And so she looked at the clock, and it was morning, and she realized, oh, my gosh, it's 10 o'clock. I was supposed to be at work at 8:30. So she called her work, and the people at work said, "Oh, where have you been? We've been calling you and calling you for 3 days. So she didn't know all these years what had happened to her during those 3 days. So about 2 months ago, we did a regression on that. And it turned out that it was a wonderful experience for her. What happened in this regression is that she was taken by these beings from the sofa where she had sort of collapsed and put on a craft. And they did a sort of a scanning, like a health scanning process. They stood her up on a little platform, and then beams of light came down through her and all around her as she was standing vertically. And she could see through the beams of light that there was a whole circle of these extraterrestrial beings around this apparatus, just looking at her and just watching and sort of nodding if she seemed to be asking questions about it. And then after a while, she doesn't know how long she was in that particular procedure, but after a while, they came to her. They put their hands under her hands, which were hanging at her side. They didn't touch her, but they sort of cupped their hands under her hands and levitated her up into the air vertically. And then when she was several feet off the floor, they had her be levitated horizontally and floated her into another room, and they suspended her even higher in a prone position. And then they had beams of light, and this probably
I'm going to leave her right there suspended, and we'll pick Barbara Lamb up at that point. AlienExperiences.com is the soon-to-be-released book on the subject. Have another hour worth of questions. Well, actually, I've got about 10 hours, but we'll do another hour worth of questions for Barbara, and then we'll take your calls right here with Raleigh James on Coast to Coast AM.